Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp, MR2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I have my belly up to the virtual kitchen table, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm delighted always to be here with my co-host. Hi, guys.
Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. I love being belly up to the kitchen table. This is great. And I'm just delighted to be here. And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton. And my belly is up to the table as well with these other two. Glad to let you know that. And it is very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, Sarah and I are the co-founders of a hybrid Unity online ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, Y-O-U, it's about you, universalprosperity.com.
And as we always say, the shortcut, because we like to make it easy for you, is UCFYP.com.
Yes, indeed. And I think we should mention, even though we don't know when this is exactly going to be posted, you want to mention your white paper about Easter week?
Yes, we have a white light paper, which is the whole metaphysical interpretation of Passion Week from between Palm Sunday and the resurrection and the ascension. We even talk about the ascension there. And so everything, all the major events that happened during that time, we took each one and have a little meta-spiritual interpretation. And then we have an entire in-depth at the end that focuses on Easter itself, the resurrection story itself.
Wonderful. And do you have a tab that says white light papers?
We do. If you go to ucfyp.com, in the menu, you'll see products. And under products, one of the ones you can choose is white light papers.
Okay, so that's where I saw it. All right. Of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you'll find my calendar and the Zoom events that I'm involved in, as well as the Absolute Word, which we always have one at the end of this program. And this one, of course, will be for Easter Sunday, because we're actually doing this on Good Friday. That's a name that I just never understood. But it turns out that it really means Holy Friday. And I'm not sure Jesus would have called that. I'd call it Unholy Friday. But there you go. There's my opinion. And so, yes, you are listening to Metaphysical Romp 2. Oh, and I should tell you, the reason why we call this the virtual kitchen table is because our idea of doing this podcast together popped up around us having a conversation around Bill and Cher's kitchen table, which we always do when I'm visiting there. So, hallelujah. And when you were visiting my place, too. So,
we have had several kitchen table conversations, one of which almost made us miss our church service.
Our church service. Oh, my gosh. I had forgotten that. That's funny. I was there to speak, and we got so busy, we forgot about church. All right. So, yes, this is Metaphysical Romp 2, which is about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. And we are really excited about today's topic. We are going to be sharing with you information about something called ultradian rhythms. And this is important information we should have gotten years ago. And so we're seeing this as maybe a 3 or 4 part series, because we're going to be looking mostly about ultradian rhythms and then something called the Pomodoro method or something like that, which will help us context what we need to do. So Bill, Cher, you ready to go?
Yeah, and just want to say before Sheriff starts that for you readers out there, what we're talking about is the science of ultradian rhythms, and ultradian is U-L-T-R-A-D-I-A-N, ultradian rhythms, and so you guys can look that up. For those who are more hearing focused, you'll find out all you want to know, all you need to know probably about ultradian rhythms in these next few podcasts.
Yes, indeed. I do want to give a little shout out to Andrew Huberman, who has his Huberman Labs podcast. And this is where I first heard about it. Okay, Cher, do your magic.
All right. We started talking about exploring this after Paul had heard about it on the Huberman podcast. He told us about it. And I'm so glad Bill spelled it for our listeners, because I heard it spelled differently in my head.
Me too.
So I had to when I was researching it, looking for more information, it took me a little couple tries to get it. So thank you for doing that. That was great. We came across an article that we're going to use as our base for our discussion and jumping in, because the article really covers some of the key categories we think are so important. But then Paul will be throwing in some things that he heard on the Huberman podcast, and we'll be throwing in some other things that came up for us as well. It's a kind of a rock and roll type session.
We always do.
Yeah. And I will also be sure that a link to this specific article that we're talking from will be connected to the podcast. So if you go to our resource, I'll actually put it on the description. I'll have a link to this article when you get the description of the podcast itself. The article is called "Use the Science of Ultradian Rhythms to Boost Productivity, Energy, and Willpower." So from the title, you can see why the three of us were very interested in the science of ultradian rhythms, because who doesn't want to boost their productivity, energy, and willpower? So it's a good takeaway for why we think it's interesting. The author of this article is Pilar Gerasimo. It's Gerasimo, who is the founding editor of Experience Life magazine, just so you'll know where that came from. And the article goes into a lot of detail. So what we're going to do is pull up little sections of it, share it, and then we're going to riff around that. I wanted to start the reading part about three paragraphs down, where it really talks about what this is all about. So everybody comes from that knowing of what we're talking about. She says, "Our ultradian rhythms matter mightily to virtually all aspects of our physical, mental, and emotional health. They also play a big role in what we think about as our willpower and our ability to carry out the decisions we believe to be in our own best interest." So there's the why it's important. Now you're probably asking, so what exactly are they? Basically, the ultradian rhythms are biological patterns hardwired into your DNA, a function of your clock genes, that's in quotes, which dictate how your body functions in time. Much like cardiac rhythms and brain waves, ultradian rhythms are measurable, observable, quantifiable physiological patterns that your body must maintain in order to operate properly.
Wow. So amazing that these exist. Our listeners have probably heard of the circadian patterns and rhythms that our body has, which is a 24-hour cycle. You're going to learn that this is basically a 90-minute cycle, and that it's hardwired. Now, some of you may be scratching your head and wondering what this has to do with metaphysical romp. And what it has to do with it is that the more we dive into the research, that our minds, our consciousness, are intricately interrelated with our physical bodies. And it's time we give our body its due and stop acting like what the physiology of our body, we've been acting like it doesn't impact our brains and it doesn't impact our consciousness, when in truth, it does. And one of the key things here is you have to remember that these cycles exist, which is part of your consciousness. So consciousness and the way in which we manage our bodies are intertwined or interrelated.
Plus, we believe that it will affect your spiritual practice, and your spiritual practice will affect how well you use these ultradian rhythms. So,
yeah, so
it's
a bi-directional feedback system, isn't it? And that's why it's starting to feel more and more like a unit.
Mm. And their primary purpose of these rhythms is to help manage the cycles of energy production, output, and recovery. So what Paul had mentioned earlier in terms of where we go with any information we give you, what we're talking about here, folks, is very definitely not pseudoscience. It's based on sound science.
This is hard science.
Yep.
Yep.
And I found this particularly interesting because we were sharing before the show, Bill and I used to teach stress management back in the day a lot. We did a lot of work with corporate in stress management. And one of the things we, and time management was kind of built into that. And one of the things we talked about was getting to know your high productive times, listening to your body, knowing when you're most productive and making sure you're not wasting that productive time doing stuff like checking emails, that you're actually using it effectively. Well, now this has just opened up all the science that supports yes. that. It's amazing.
Yes. And it's important to remember that when these cycles are disrupted or ignored, they can really mess with your health, your happiness, your general well-being, and we have to add our spirituality.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And you can make stupid decisions.
Oh, yes. Oh, wait a minute. I don't make those. What do you mean?
So if you want to make better decisions, keep listening. We're going to tell you how to do it.
Yes. So basically what we're talking about are many versions of circadian rhythms, which I already mentioned, which is our 24-hour cycles of sleep and waking, except that they are much shorter, occurring many times over a single day. It's basically, and we're going to get into the detail here, but we thought it was important to talk about, well, what do you do with these breaks? So what do you mean break, Paul? Well, so we have high points of energy and low points of energy, and the energy cycle cycles about every 90 minutes. And after 90 minutes is when we want to take a break. So what do we do with that break time? Here, let's scroll down to there. And as she's going there, the break time should be 10 to 20 minutes and ideally is 20 minutes. So can you imagine every 90 minutes taking a 20 minute break and then 90 minutes of work and how that might help your stress and things like that?
What I find interesting is when we plan, the three of us, when we're planning classes and retreats, 90 minutes to 2 hours is the longest we ever want to go without having a break of some kind.
Yes.
Now we know why we do that.
Right. And the literature would support going as long as 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's not precise in that it has to be 90 minutes. So that being aware of your own body is really, really important. I'm going to share the couple things that I heard from Dr. Huberman, since they're not on this list, though the nap might be. He's in favor of the power nap, 20 minutes, which I kind of do automatically. And this is something I do most afternoons, but I don't take a morning break. I'm looking forward to adding that to my cycle. And another thing is meditating, okay? And one of the forms of meditating that he recommends is called yoga nidra, Y-O-G-A, separate word nidra, N-I-D-R-A. And he calls these non-sleep deep rest, non-sleep deep rest, N-S-D-Rs. And basically, it gives our body and a mind a break to do all the restorative functions you're going to learn about over the course of these three or four programs. Okay, so what else we have there, Cher?
Okay, some other points that are listed here. And then we're going to come back, and if not in this show, in the next one, about why this is important and what the benefits are. But we wanted to, so you could start right away doing these things. In addition to the ones that Paul mentioned, they recommend hit the restroom, which I thought was funny.
I do the break, so yes.
Yeah. And it says whether you, even if you don't think you have to, it reminded me of my mother's advice. We used to travel a lot, and she would always say, never miss an opportunity to use a restroom when you're traveling.
Oh, that's funny. I heard the Queen of England said that too.
Really?
Yes.
So anyway, do that. Get a drink of water or a cup of tea and enjoy drinking it slowly.
Slowly, yes.
And that's almost like it would be, instead of an eating, it would be a drinking meditation where you mindfully enjoy your break, because we tend to gulp down too often.
And the water and tea are important because we're not talking about drinking alcohol here.
Right. And we're talking about hydration.
Right. Yeah. Water is the best thing really for hydration. And caffeine does dry out your throat, just so you know, from a speaker point of view, that's
important to be aware of, even though I drink a lot of coffee. I don't drink it before I speak. grab a healthy snack. So again, these are all things that you would do during a break anyway. You probably take a break and want something to drink, something to eat. So the suggestion is be more mindful of what you select.
Yes, yes.
So that you're kind of facilitating the process of what happens during that break for you.
Yes.
And we, the three of us unabashedly suggest that you consider listening to one of our podcasts, which are about 20-ish minutes.
That was a good plug, Bill.
Yay.
Yes.
Now, one that we do a lot, and I think this is a really important one, is to get outside and walk calmly, looking around you, not at your smartphone. In fact, leave your smartphone behind or put it in your pocket if you're counting steps.
Yep.
But just go for a walk, a mindful walk. And if you're in an office setting, you can walk in the office, just walk around. And if you're a manager or a leader, by the way, this is a great chance to just pop in and say hi to your cohorts, to let them know that you're not there to check in on them or cause trouble. You just wanted to pop by and say hi.
Yeah. So this one's really important too. This is one I recommend when I have a 10-minute break in my classes, is get away from the screen, get away from the computer screen, get away from your phone screen. And since we're on screens, our focus is very narrowed. When we walk, purposely open up your vision. Try to see as far to the left and as far as the right you can. So you're opening up your vision. This is a very healthy thing to do.
You know, I love that, because one of the things we're going to read later is that an impact, if you don't take care of yourself this way, it affects your peripheral vision.
Yes.
So that, what you just said, wow, that expands your peripheral vision.
So you want to purposely expand. Well, how do you do that? Well, it's kind of weird if you just think about it, like I just did now, my peripheral vision opened up in this room and I can see both of my hands, which are 180 degrees apart.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Really important. And then this next one kind of relates a little bit to what you just said too, Cher. Try a walking exercise.
Yeah. Very. Anything you do that gets you moving. Now, if you're moving in your work, then you might want to do a sitting.
Right. Good point. You want to do the opposite of what you normally do. And as far as a walking exercise goes, I'll just remind folks, we talked about this anecdotally, but doing a 10-minute walk in the morning within 2 or 3 hours of waking up is really good about getting the proper light into your eyes for setting the bigger rhythm, the circadian rhythm. Okay.
So we're kind of starting to run out of time here. So why don't we do just one more, one, a couple more. You want to read one?
Oh, sure. I'll go with, and one thing we recommend is what we call a laser focus moment. Stare into out the window, seeing if you notice something interesting, a shape or a color or a scene, and concentrate, focus on that just for a while. Which brings you into a different kind of focus than what Paul had mentioned earlier about focusing on your computer screen. Right. Now, this is a different kind of focus entirely.
Yeah, and so this is a good place to stop, but I want to add, so after you do that focus, look, you know, looking for one small green thing or one small round thing, then you go back to the peripheral vision.
Nice.
And that really exercises the system really, really well.
Yep.
Okay, so this is a good time to pivot to our absolute word, which is for Easter Sunday, April 4th, 2021. If people have read the daily word, I've changed things here. I put arise. I like that word. I welcome my resurrection experience. I welcome my resurrection experience. In Mark's gospel, the woman who came to anoint Jesus's body on Easter morning flee in terror when, after finding the tomb empty, they are told Jesus has been raised. Stories from early Christian communities describe a transformation from fear to faith as Jesus's early followers come to realize that not even death can hold the Christ spirit captive. With joyous faith, Jesus's followers greet one another, declaring, "He is risen. and affirming, he is risen indeed. Letting go of fear, I say yes to my resurrection experience. Guided by the resurrecting power of the Christ Spirit within me, I am set free from the tomb of lack and limitation. I follow Jesus into the light of new awareness, a new dimension of life. Christ is risen in me. I welcome my resurrection experience. And I should say in a unity context that crucifixion and resurrection isn't a one-time thing, and it's not a physical thing like Jesus went through. It's really every time we're going through a transformation. We are crossing out our error thoughts, anything that's not useful anymore, and taking on something newer and better, and that resurrects. But actually what it does is it raises our consciousness. And so thank you for another wonderful MR2, Metaphysical ROM 2. I'm grateful to you, our listeners, and always grateful for my dear friends, Bill and Cher Holden. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And we affirm that you all have transformative experiences as you move forward. This is Cher saying bye.
And this is Reverend Bill saying bye. And just stay well and be good at what you do.